Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're the hosts of the Anxiety Chicks podcast, where we dive deep into the reality of anxiety, nutrition, and mental health.
Listen as we explore all things anxiety healing while keeping it real, including our own struggles with mental health.
We'll bring our expertise as healing professionals to the conversation while discussing the tools and strategies you need to heal the anxious mind.
Listen to the Anxiety Chicks on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I'm Allison Cepanera.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're excited to be back with you guys this week. And Taylor, I'm excited to be back here with you. I've missed you.
I know. I've missed you. I was like thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I feel like our schedules have just – summer is always like this to us.
I know.
But I feel like when we get into like the fall and the holidays, we're like boom, boom, boom.
Oh, my gosh. Totally. I feel like that's a lot for a lot of people though. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of listeners that are in education, which I love. And so a lot of educators, they use this time, which they should. They deserve it. And, you know, kids aren't in school. It's like different schedules, all this stuff. So it happens. But I'm looking forward to fall. I'm such a summer person, but I can't wait for fall. Are you looking forward to it?
I love fall. You don't live in Texas. Mm. We have triple digits on the reg.
That's true, actually. You're right. Depending on where you are in the world or the country, it could be summer. Or if you're in Australia, I think it's winter right now. So it could be really cold. Yeah. But I'm so excited to be back here with you. Why don't you fill everyone in on what's been going on with you? Because I know we've been texting a little bit, and there was, you know, you guys know that we share everything about our lives with you all. And Taylor kind of shared something with me that seemed pretty scary to me, and I don't know all about it yet. So I wanted to save it for the pod to see if she would be okay talking about it. And you said you would. So just fill everyone in on what's been going on.
First off, I would like to say I do not want to go to the ER one more time this year or next year. I have done my visits. And the funny thing is they weren't panic attack visits. Like, this is like real stuff. Remember when I had that thing in November?
Yes.
And then here we are. And so basically, all in all, I had a kidney infection. And a lot of people, when I posted it on my story, were like scared. They were like, how'd you get it? Blah, blah, blah. And so 9 years ago, I had one really bad that I was in the hospital for.
Oh,
I think
really?
Some people can just be prone to them. I'm not sure. So I play a lot of pickleball. And I had this water bottle that really kept me accountable for drinking water. And I think that my body just needs water and electrolytes. Like, I really drink a lot of water. And I lost it, or someone stole it. I can't remember what happened. And I remember for 2 weeks being like, I'm not drinking enough water. Like, I would go to bed at night, and like when I'd get in bed, I'd be like, oh, I did it again. Like, I really didn't drink water at all. And then you're like sweating, you know, playing sports and stuff. And my dad had a lot of kidney stones too. Like, he's dealt with that stuff. And so basically just after about like 2 weeks, I started getting just really bad back pain. At first I was like, oh, I think I did something. And then it was just like 10 out of 10 pain.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I went to the ER and they were like, oh, here, just go home. Probably a UTI. They were like, here's a antibiotic to start when you get home.
Yeah, which is what I thought. I thought when you had texted me, I was like, oh my gosh, because my mom actually just had a bladder infection, a UTI. Yeah, and I thought they were all connected. I didn't know. Anyway.
Right. Well, that's usually where it begins, and then it can go to the kidneys.
Okay. Okay.
But I was like, God, you know, like, I didn't have any like bad symptoms or anything. That's weird. And so I leave with that prescription. I start the antibiotic, which I freaking hate antibiotics. This year has really tested me.
Yeah.
I start it though. And I just got to say, I love the like strength you build once you go through hard things. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, everything becomes so much easier. Like, they were giving me pain meds through an IV. Never thought I would do that. Like, what?
Wow.
I was just like, I know. Well, it was Tylenol, but.
Did you ever have to do that before with the IV?
9 years ago, but I didn't like have anxiety then. Like I didn't have panic or whatever health anxiety then. Like I was like super calm in the ER. I was like very proud of myself. But basically I get home and I'm like, man, this is not right. And I had a guy doctor, and sometimes I feel like men just like don't listen to women. And so I called back and I was like, hey, I know a lot. Like I feel like, and it's sad once again, like really advocate for yourselves. I know my body. And I called and I was like, hey, this pain is like really bad. And she was like, well, did you take the Tylenol? And I was like, ma'am, I took the antibiotic. I'm so nauseous. I can't eat anything. So I'm not going to put Tylenol in my body on top of an empty stomach, on top of just taking an antibiotic.
100%. You know
what I mean? Like, I would have projectiled.
100%. Everywhere. But wait, this was when you were out of the hospital. They sent you home?
This is when they sent me home and said it was a UTI.
Okay. And the antibiotic they gave you was for UTI. It wasn't just Tylenol, or they told you to take Tylenol on top of that?
Tylenol on top of that to help the pain.
Right, right.
And I was like, I've had a UTI before and I didn't have this kind of pain. Like this was like in my kidney pain. And so she was like, just take the Tylenol. And from having a kidney infection, I know that if you start developing a fever or start having chills, it's in your kidneys.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
why would I
okay.
take Tylenol to possibly mask those symptoms? Because I know with a kidney infection, you got to treat it in the hospital.
And it's a different type of that infection would be a different
treatment.
Type of antibiotic. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So the antibiotic I was on, Macrobid, I looked it up. It can't even reach the kidneys.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm in 10 out of 10 pain. I called back and she was like, just take the Tylenol. And in my head, I was like, you know what? Forget this. And I drove back there. I'm sure when I walked in, they were like, seriously? And I walked
you.
In.
Good for you.
I walked
you,
in and I was like, listen, this is 10 out of 10. Like truly worse pain than I had in that November with that thing.
Oh, right.
And so
Worse pain than that?
Worse pain. Like I was like a drug addict, Allison. Like I couldn't sit still. I couldn't get comfortable. It was like I was like fiending.
Oh my gosh.
Like I was like, this sounds so crazy, but I started just like taking my clothes off to find relief. It's so weird.
No,
I was like, what am I even
so
doing?
Oh. Can I ask you a question though?
Yeah.
Did it reminisce anything that happened when you had it before? Like in your mind, were you like, wow, this feels
I was like, okay, so then somebody, I want to take a pause real quick in this story because someone messaged me and they were like, this is why I fear not taking my symptoms seriously every time. And let me say, and someone else said this in the messages too, the difference between anxiety symptoms and something really happening is you're not having anxious thoughts. I was not anxious or worried. I was like in severe, dire need of help.
Yeah. No, you're having there's physical pain. Yes. There's like
pain
happening.
You can have physical pain and physical symptoms with anxiety. But you know, when you have them, you're just like, oh no, I feel scared. Like you're like, oh no, this feels bad. And you have time to like obsessively think about it. When a real emergency is happening, you're literally just like, get me help now.
Totally.
Like there's no thinking.
Like I don't care what you do. Just make it go away.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And I posted that and someone was like, wow, that actually like really helps. Because if you think about every time you've had a panic attack, you're overthinking it. You're thinking, what if you're Googling? You're like, I didn't have time to Google. I wasn't doing anything. I was just like, get me the help. So then I go back in and they're like, okay, you know, you sound pretty serious. We're going to do blood work, CT scan and urine culture. And so they did all of that. And he comes in, he goes, wow, you've got a great diagnostic ability within you. And I'm like, no crap.
It's the same doctor, by the way. Did you get the same doctor?
Same doctor. So I end up needing IV antibiotics, which if I didn't get that, who knows what would have happened. Because kidney infections are very serious.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes.
And I want anybody, especially women, to advocate for themselves. If you ever feel just 10 out of 10 back pain in the upper area of your back, in the flank area, in the sides, advocate for yourself because
100%.
You can wipe it out pretty fast if you get a control of it, but it can also go to your blood, which 100%. Is where things get very, very serious. And so I was just like, you know, as women, especially with male doctors, we really should advocate for ourselves more when it comes to like female issues, because I think people get written off with UTIs a lot. And you just want to make sure if you're having that kind of back pain to take care of yourself. And I don't want this to scare anybody because kidney infections, they sound serious, but if you get help right away, you're fine.
Yeah.
Like it's when you let it go for like a while.
And what are some of the preventative things too? You were talking about water before. Isn't it so important to drink a lot of water?
Well, I mean, there's people who like have like trained their bodies to not drink a lot of water, right? So like our urine filters through our kidneys. And so if you're holding your bladder, so I was playing pickleball for like 4 hours, right? And I wasn't peeing once. So my body might be different than someone else's. And that kind of hold up bacteria in my kidneys might just lead to an infection for me.
Yeah.
That just might be like me or a kidney stone. I could have had a little stone that led to an infection. I don't know. But, and I think that once you've had a kidney infection, you can be more prone to them.
Yeah. That's
what I've heard.
Okay.
So kind of like with UTIs, like, you know, you always have one friend who has like she gets reoccurring UTIs. It's just the way her anatomy is.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things and I'm feeling a lot better, but I was telling Allison with owning your own company, it's so difficult. I'm like, I just went through this ER crap in November. Like,
I know. I felt so bad.
You can't keep taking weeks off of work.
No, like, but what are you supposed to do?
I know.
Like, this is not
me. Like, in those moments, there was no, you could have probably told me like, hey, I'm removing you from the pod. And I would have been like, okay, I'm deleting your Instagram. Okay. Yeah.
No, seriously. You're in that kind of pain,
you're like, care. I'll lose everything. I don't, you're
like, just take it away. Totally. 100%.
It really goes to show you what truly matters in life, you know, like your health is so important.
And I think that this is always why we want to tell our stories on here, because I think there are too many people that get the messaging from society, which we all have been there, that, you know, you have to like bounce back from things, whether it's physical things or mental health. Like, there's a time limit on it, right? Like, the biggest thing that I have a issue with in our country is the fact that they give you a time limit for like grief. You get like 2 days off if your mom died, or like 3 days off if your dad died, you know, at like a company.
Right.
They literally say, oh yeah, it was your immediate mom or dad, you get a week. If it's an aunt, you get 3 days. Like, it's just so weird how in corporate America, that's literally what they do when someone dies. It's so weird. But you know, it's also the same parameters with like a physical thing, right? Like, you think about women when you have kids and like the trauma that a woman goes through with labor. And it's like, yep, you get 3 months. You don't get paid though, but you'll give you some 3 months. And then it's like, you know, to take care of, you know, to basically not sleep at all. And then at 3 months, you know, oh, is the 3 months the magic number that your baby's just perfect now? Oh my gosh, it gets like worse and worse. It's just so crazy. And so I think, you know, there's nothing really little old me or you can actually do to change all those laws. But I mean, what you can do is really advocate for yourself and recognize that, you know, if something is, you know, take those mental health days, take those, you know, sick days you need a lot. So many people don't take their days. You know, let yourself rest, allow yourself on weekends to say no to things and set your boundaries. Like, I was telling Taylor, part of this whole thing, I felt so horrible that when you were texting me, and I was just like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I was thinking about the thing that happened to you in the fall. I'm like, wait, again, what happened? Like, I was just
I know.
This girl cannot get a break.
Allison's going to think I'm crazy. I was she's going to think I'm falling apart.
No, I actually was like, my health anxiety was now getting bad, not for me, but for you. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm worried about you. Like, I was worried about you now. I'm like, what is going on? And I mean, you are so good with advocating for yourself, and you're obviously know about nutrition and your diet and stuff. But, you know, part
like
of
all
this is
I
like,
want people to get from this is to like just truly advocate for yourself. Like, you're not crazy. Like, go back in. Like, trust me, they looked at me funny when I walked back in there. They're like, ma'am, you were just here.
Well, the other thing. Like, go ahead.
I was like, nope, something's not right.
Right. 100%. Well, that, but also what I was going to say was when I had asked you about like the podcast and stuff, you almost kind of like minimized, I think, how it was. And I was just like, okay, like, you're like, I'll get the pot up and all this stuff. And I'm like, And then I'm like asking you like a couple of days later, and I'm just like, listen, you need to tell me when like something is really like, are you okay? Like, you still needed like some time. Yeah. So you need to say, you need to ask people for help. I'm saying and other people listening, please don't be afraid to ask for help. And when you're having moments mentally or physically, you know, don't be afraid to ask people for help and say like, you know, I can't do this today. Or can you help with this? Because I can't.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a huge piece of this, you know?
You're so good at that. You're so good at like communicating your thoughts or like needs.
Well, if we're still doing this when you're 43, I think that you'll probably be exactly
okay, wait, you're not 43. You just turned 40.
No, I'm just turned 43.
That is so insane.
This July. Like,
I remember you just turned 40.
I know. I know.
What the frick?
I blame
you're
that
so young. I feel like you know, you think of like, you hear like 43 and you're like, you know, and you're like 20, you're like, oh, that's like a lot older. You're so young. Like, oh, your personality is so young.
You're cute. I know. I think I get that from my
mom. Do you feel young? Like, do you feel like you're still 20?
Yes. I feel like I'm 25 all the time.
I love that.
Except when I'm hungover because I feel like I'm like 80, which doesn't happen as much anymore. But
I love you. I think that gives people hope, though, because I think a lot of people are like scared to get older.
Listen, it's an unknown of what happens as we, you know, actually get old, right? And then we're not here anymore. But I think that's why people are afraid of it.
Yeah.
Because of that. But I will say, you are still young, you know, like you're learning so much about yourself. And I think I was completely, you know, I had been where you are, and like, you're way more wise than I am at your age, but still I learned so much about
that. It's called trauma.
But I probably learned the most about like communication and like talking about my feelings when I was 30. Yeah. And then like, as I got older,
that's what a lot of people say, like their 30s are like where they learn to like advocate or like express their needs without feeling like,
You start just not giving a crap what people think. And so just like, I don't even care. And you're like, I need help. I'm like, now I'm like, someone help me, please, all the time. I don't even care if it's a stranger. I'm like, can you help me? Thanks. Like, but we're so glad you're okay. Yay.
Yes.
And you updated
us. I'm here.
Let's just literally, fingers crossed for
no more
health, wellness for you, especially, you know, one step at a time. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's get into our actual topic for today. Shall we? You guys stuck with us after 15 minutes now. We love you.
Okay. We haven't done an update in so long. So no one leave a bad review.
No, that's true. Yes. And if you haven't left a review and you like us, can you please leave a review? We have some really good ones. I like it, but we just haven't had one in a while. And we really it really pushes our pod out there and gets our voice to other people who might appreciate learning about anxiety healing and stuff. So, okay. So today we're doing, you know, we've been doing our Q&As, if you guys have listened to that. So we actually got a question though that I really liked and I thought would be such a good topic just for today. So we're kind of going to leave it to one question for today. Taylor was calling it like a Dear Abby. I don't know if anyone remembers Dear Abby.
I didn't even know what that is.
I know. I was going to say it's so old. Or like Dr. Laura. Do you know who Dr. Laura is?
No.
She's like this like 80-year-old psychologist on Sirius Radio who is so old school. She used to have a show like this too back in the day on the actual radio when people listened to the radio. So... okay, I'm going to read the topic and then we'll kind of answer together and hopefully it'll help a bunch of people. Okay. Hi there. I'm a new listener and I'm enjoying the episode so far. Thank you. Your podcast definitely makes me feel less alone. My question is, how do you deal with a partner who doesn't understand anxiety and isn't very supportive because of that? I'm 44 and as I age, I feel my anxiety getting worse. When I try to talk to him about it, he's dismissive, insensitive, and thinks I'm overreacting. It makes me feel like I can't talk to him about it. Of course.
With the busy fall season just around the corner, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. As a dietitian, you know I love when things are dietitian approved. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Too busy to end your summer goals to cook? Want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back to crushing your goals. Round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45 plus add-ons, including breakfast items like our delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon cheddar egg bites, and potato bacon egg breakfast skillet. Or for an easy wellness boost, try refreshing beverages like cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. We offset 100% of our delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity from our production sites, offices, and feature sustainable sourced seafood in our meals. This August, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavored, packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess.
Head to factormeals.com/anxietychicks50 and use code anxietychicks50 to get 50% off. That's code anxietychicks50 at factormeals.com/anxietychicks50 to get 50% off. Because I feel judged. Okay.
So, but first of all, when I hear that, makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. Because obviously this person is just looking to be heard. And like all of us, anyone who's listening to this, just wants to feel heard and feel seen with their emotions. And especially when they're anxious, they don't want to feel like they're a burden, because that's something that gives us even more anxiety. So wait, why does it make you feel sad though? Say more about
that. Because it just makes me feel like there's something else, like in something in the relationship that could even be contributing to the anxiety. Like, it sounds like if someone isn't caring about you being anxious or sad, like that's, how do you like look at someone you love and they're clearly expressing a really hard time and you just don't have any emotion for it?
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
I think you just
said
that so well.
I feel like a lot of people go through that. Like, I feel like a lot, I think there's a lot of people who are in relationships and marriages, especially in today's society. And I feel like experiencing extreme anxiety. And sometimes one of the main triggers is at home.
Totally. And relationships.
I'm not like assuming this about this relationship. I'm just saying, like, that's another layer of anxiety if someone acting that way towards you.
100%.
That makes you feel like you have to hide everything about yourself.
Or like you can't even be yourself, because
can't even be yourself.
Not that it defines you, but it might be part of you. It might be something you struggle with. And like, you're supposed to just
find yourself. Oh, I can't act that way. I can't think that way. I can't show that. He'll get mad. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
No, totally. And so like her question was, how do you deal with a partner who doesn't understand anxiety and isn't very supportive because of that? Like that question is very difficult, because
it's very difficult.
It's almost as if
part of me. Yeah.
She wants to know how to be more accommodating to her partner, and right. She wants to put in the effort to make him feel
comfortable
right. When she actually needs some nurturing.
Right. Like that question, like that truly makes me sad. It's like her not even recognizing that it's like, I don't know. So much of this, you just hear so much about this. And I feel like it's like women who find themselves bending over and bending over for just a little bit of respect. And it's like accommodating at all needs. And when you start doing that, you find yourself letting all your boundaries go.
Totally.
And letting anything flow. Anything's allowed. And they can treat you. You show people how they can treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really hard when you're someone who struggles with anxiety, because you don't want problems. You don't want to upset people. But if somebody is giving you disrespect, for especially for having a mental health issue,
100%.
Don't allow that. I will not allow you to treat me this way. And then actually like following through with not allowing them. Okay, they might get mad. They might be like, forget you. And if they say forget you, then that's your boundary that they're not willing to respect.
Yeah.
But I mean, it being your husband, that's another layer. That's really hard. But like we show people how they can treat us. That's yeah. really it. Like we show people what is allowed. And if we allow this, that, you think it's going to stop?
No. No.
They're going to keep thinking that that's okay because you bend over backwards left and right all the time. And they think that they can just treat people however they want, especially someone who's allowing it. Well, which is not your fault for allowing it.
No. And what I was actually just going to say, which is probably where a huge breakdown is with this couple, is communication, which you and I were talking about just a couple minutes ago, right? Yeah. Like the communication piece is huge when it comes to relationships. And when I say communication, I don't mean like him, you know, saying you're annoying, get away from me. Like, no, that's yeah. not healthy. We're talking about like healthy communication is maybe him being able to say something like, you know, is something like, what is really happening? I feel like maybe I'm anxious too when I'm around yeah. you because you're maybe there's something anxious going on with you and I want to see if we can like figure it out together, you know?
Or I get annoyed or upset because I see you anxious and I don't know how to help it.
Yeah.
What yeah. can we do to get you help? I can't help you, but what can we do to help you? Who can we get to help you? Because
right.
your husband can't be your healer or your helper, your husband or wife. They can't be your you also can't spend your whole life, like month after month after month, dropping all of your anxiety on someone. That's yeah. also like that will tear someone down. But having a partner that's willing to be like, let's go get you the help you need. I can't do it fully, but I'm here for you. But let's go find you a therapist who you can tell these anxious thoughts to.
Yeah.
Or let's find you a community where you can like talk to these people. I'll be right here, but I'm also not your brain dump.
You should never be dependent on any one
right.
thing to heal you, right?
right?
Whether it's a
right.
person, whether it's like a coping skill, whether it's a therapist, whether it's, you know, another thing in your healing toolkit, it shouldn't just mm-hmm. be like, whether it's medication, like it shouldn't right. be one specific thing you're always dependent on thinking that that's going to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. So especially a person, support systems are so important, but yeah, it shouldn't be. But when it comes to communication too, I think that this woman, it seems like it's probably really hard for her to express herself to this person if she's feeling so dismissed by them. Like who wants mm-hmm. to be open with someone who is constantly shutting them down or saying you're a burden or you're annoying, like, right. and this person's really insensitive. And honestly, I think that there probably needs to be some help for both of you in this situation, right? Like it doesn't seem like either of you are communicating in a healthy way. So I don't know if, you know, your partner would be open to going to couples counseling,
yeah.
like doing that together. That could be something that would be really healthy. And maybe even because it sounds like he probably needs to learn a little bit more about it. I mean, that's really what it is. People that treat other people like that because of mental health, it's like, it's almost like they don't have education about it. Don't you know what this, yeah. like, you know, like, don't you know what this means? Do you know yeah. what it is that I experience, or do you just not have empathy? I don't know. But, you know, I think what would be maybe helpful for this woman initially is to start understanding more about her own anxiety, maybe seeing a therapist on her own and just understanding herself and how to express feelings, how to understand her emotions. I think it's amazing that she's listening to us because it sounds like she's gaining awareness of herself. So, so proud of you. And really recognizing also, you know, if this person that you're with is someone that doesn't make you feel safe, that when you're with them, and what I mean is makes you feel like you're not judged, makes you feel like you can be vulnerable with your emotions and nothing is wrong with you, and that you can really just have a space and hold space. This person can hold space with these emotions with you, which it doesn't sound like he can. Maybe he can learn. But if he's not doing that right now, that's really what I think needs to change with the dynamic, is that you need to, you need someone that you can feel safe with when these really scary emotions happen and these scary thoughts happen. I mean, if we could just like not have anxiety, don't you think we would? I mean, I don't want to be, I would love to not, I've learned to love every part of me. That's a huge part of this too. I would say to, if this woman is listening, right? Like learning to love yourself and work on self-love and really all of that stuff, but also acknowledge, you know, if you could just like stop the thoughts that you have and stop all of this, you would in a second. I mean, come on, we don't want to be like it. We don't want to feel scared all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not fun. It's not fun.
No.
So yeah, so I think that there's, I just think there's a lot of layers, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth it to look at your own path towards healing on your own and maybe find some professional support. See if maybe your partner will go to couples counseling. You know, trying to effectively communicate in a healthy way, maybe read up a little bit more about boundaries and what effective communication looks like, and see if your partner would be willing to read about stuff like that too. That's the biggest, I think, ways to predict success when it comes to couples, is if both are really willing to put in the work for each other and really be open to it. That's really what love is, I think. And I think about when I start when I'm dating and stuff, like that's what I've learned through all of my relationships too, is like, I just want to find someone who I feel safe with, who will like see all my vulnerabilities and see me cry and maybe have a panic attack or like freak out, but still love me and know that it's like, okay, this is something, you're going to be okay. But then there's a million other awesome places, awesome things about me that, you know, they love every part of me and never ever make me feel like they're judging me and never feel like what I'm expressing is too much for them. That was a huge limiting belief that I've had for so long of my life, is that I'm too much. Always.
And you, and you almost find yourself like changing, trying to change who you are to accommodate them.
Oh my God. Every relationship
will lead to so much unhappiness.
I will not do it again in my next one, which will probably lead me to be married. I really think the next relationship I'm in, I'm going to get married. I really, really do believe it. But yeah, it's like you, it takes a long time. And so, you know, this might be a hard pill to swallow, but maybe this isn't the right person for you. You know, that's just a real reality check there too.
Yeah.
You know, just like, it's not, nothing is like.
I think a lot of people, I know sometimes you get sad about being single at 43, but I think that there's so many people who are married and they're like, my feelings are just not validated ever. And they live with so much anxiety and sadness.
I know a lot of those types of couples.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Sure. Sorry. It's actually
No, I know, because at your age, you have the women and they just start, when they get together with their friends, it's like they're just always talking bad about their husband.
And not even that. Sometimes they're just like, not even ever with them. They don't like, it's like they don't like them. Like sometimes I think to myself, you know, do you guys like each other? And yeah. I understand that things change in marriage. I'm not going to pretend. I know you're married. I haven't been. I'm not going to pretend like things change. There's different seasons of relationships and things get hard. I totally get it. But I think when there's, I think what you're saying about not feeling like someone is there for you in a way that really appreciates you and all of you and wants to listen to those vulnerabilities, wants to know about how to help you and is sensitive to that, not insensitive, you know, is sensitive to your needs then that is so healthy. And that is, that does predict long relationships according to research, yeah. you know? So hopefully this kind of gave this listener a little bit of insight. And I know that it's scary to think about these things, especially with relationships, you know, because your person, like, there's also so much emphasis in the person you're with romantically, you know, and mm-hmm. your partner. And sometimes there can be a lot that we unload on them. And it really is good to have a support system outside of just your partner too. So whether it's a yeah. therapist or your friends, really trying to be really trying to learn the language of feelings, and maybe start with starting to express your feelings with your friends too, yeah. you know, like, hey, can I talk to you about how I'm feeling? Just really practicing that. Cause the more that you actually use feeling words and talk openly about your feelings, it gets so easy. Now I like to talk about them all the time. And everyone's like, Allie, shut up. I know you're sad. And I'm like, okay. No, I'm just kidding.
I think a lot of, like, one, I'm proud of that person for messaging us and telling us how they feel. But, like, I think a lot of people find shame in telling your friends, like, not talking bad about your husband. I don't really like the wives who are like, oh, my husband's so lazy. He's so, like, boring. I'm so over it. Not like that kind of talk, but just saying, like, my husband's like, my husband doesn't validate me. Like, am I crazy for feeling that way? Like, that I'm not being validated? Is this something I should allow in my life? Like, getting perspectives from other people, because I'm sure, like, when she submitted, or whoever submitted that question, I'm sure they, when they said it, like, I don't feel like the way they message it to us, I don't think that they were expecting us to be like, is this a marriage you're happy in? Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes your friends ask you the really hard questions. And you need that.
Especially as people pleasers. Are people pleasers. And so this woman was basically asking, what can she do?
Yeah.
Right. It's like, what can I do so that my husband
is comfortable, happy. Is comfortable. And,
right. Yeah.
I know.
And
probably when she wrote that, it was just like, it was coming from such a place of like, she's trying so hard.
100%.
And that's what makes me sad, is like, she's bending over backwards when she doesn't deserve to.
No. And of course, there's always things that we can all work on as evolving ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, for her, it could be just learning more about her own patterns and her own yeah. limiting beliefs and her own intrusive thought patterns, and like learning how to talk about feelings openly, going to a therapist. That is all stuff I think she has control over. Mm-hmm. We don't have much control over other people. They want and are motivated to work on themselves and their relationships, or they're not. And hopefully your partner is. I really hope. So anyway, we really love this question. And yeah. I hope that this was helpful for many people. I think even just processing this for myself, it was yeah. so helpful, you know, in any type of relationships too, not just romantic, even with mm-hmm. like family. Right. Yeah. And like friendships, just the communication and being able to talk openly about things. It's really hard. It's really hard mm-hmm. for so many people. But yeah, I loved it. And we're going to do more like this. We'll have another Q&A probably next month. You know, we're trying to do it once a month. So mm-hmm. do a couple more questions in one of our episodes. But we do love to answer one question. I feel like I love this. So maybe we'll see how it goes. But we have some great guests coming up, some good topics we're going to talk about in the next couple weeks. We're talking about driving anxiety. We're talking about, hold on, I just wrote a bunch of different topics that I'm so excited about. Things those with anxiety secretly do alone. Love that. How to care less of what people think of you. Mm-hmm. What to do if you have both anxiety and depression. Do you have anxiety about making decisions? All of those fun topics we have coming up. All right. Any last words, Ms. Taylor?
Nope. I just hope that everybody knows that they deserve love and respect in life.
I love it. 100%. All right, y'all. We love you. Please leave us a review and subscribe. Bye.
Bye.